Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, what burning questions do you need answered week 15 in the NFL? We already had one answered. Yes, in fact, Lamar Jackson is the new single season rushing leader for quarterbacks with more than 1,100 yards on the ground. But the guy can also pass the ball.
First and goal. Jackson rolls out to the right. Pumps once. Steps up. Slings it. End zone. Caught. Touchdown. Miles Boykin. And the Ravens strike for a second time in the opening quarter.
Jerry Sandusky with the call on the Ravens radio network. 10 straight wins. The AFC North title is locked up. Lamar, 15 of 23, 212 yards passing, and a career high 5 touchdown passes. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, and we're pleased to welcome longtime NFL linebacker, Super Bowl champion AJ Hawk, who now does radio for SiriusXM. It's yet another incredible display by Lamar on Thursday Night Football, AJ. This Ravens offense is now averaging better than 200 rushing yards per game, but he can also pass the ball. As a defender, what's the first thing you do to try and slow that offense down?
Well, I think like the problems that a guy like Lamar presents are so tough. Like, to begin with, you start to think about game planning against him, and it's like, where do we start? Obviously, you got to play almost perfect on defense. It's like gap sound, like the old boring cliche stuff, like to try to stop him. Like, everyone has to know exactly what their assignments are in every single play. Like, all right, if he gives it to the dive here, who will you make sure, like, your gap's here? And then you got to know when he keeps it, not only who is responsible for the quarterback, but when you're playing a guy like Lamar, like, you need to have more than one guy responsible for him. I mean, you can't say, okay, hey, you're the dive. This guy, this linebacker, you bite down the dive. This outside backer, he's a quarterback guy. Like, you can't really do that against Lamar, especially when he's running, just because he's so dynamic and makes so many people miss. And let alone now you got to add into the fact, like, okay, this guy is also a very accurate passer now, and he's really grown as a passer, I think. So it definitely presents a ton of different obstacles. You just got to find a way to try to slow him down early and try to confuse him a little bit, maybe throw some run blitzes at him early and get him kind of off his game. But he's able to improvise so well. It's a tall task right now, and not a whole lot of people are having success against him.
You'll hear offenses talk about taking what the defense gives them. In the case of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, and you mentioned his ability to throw being more improved this year, we know what he can do with the ball in his hands on the ground. What are you giving him? What are you trying to make him do in a football game?
Yeah, I mean, with him, I would say, if you had to pick away, I would make him beat us passing. I'd say let's make him prove to us that he can pick us apart through the air for four quarters. You're just hoping with any quarterback, really, you're hoping if you can make him one-dimensional somehow and take away the run game at least, which is crazy to think with Mark Ingram back there and with all that Lamar's able to do when he does run. If you can find a way to stifle the run early, make him beat you passing. I mean, that's what you have to try to do, I think, right now with Lamar, and try to force him into making a couple mistakes here, and you got to capitalize on that and try to turn the ball over, no question.
We had the chance to see Baltimore and San Francisco go down to the wire a couple of weeks ago. Really entertaining. I have no idea if it's going to be a Super Bowl preview, like a lot of people are saying. But what impresses you about the San Francisco 49ers defense this year, AJ?
I mean, just at every level. They seem to kind of have everything covered. It's really impressive. Obviously, Nick Bosa's come in and had an impact from day one. Teams have to game plan around him. But everyone around him is really good, too. I know they have a bunch of first-round picks in the D-line. And those guys are playing really well, and I love their scheme, too. It's fun to watch. Like, they seem like they're having a great time out there. They really do. And I think most people probably couldn't name a whole lot of players on that Niners defense, but I think for whatever reason, they're flying under the radar, and they have really, really good players at all three levels on the defense.
Well, first place in the NFC West, they won't be flying under the radar much longer. Longtime NFL linebacker A.J. Hawk with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. One of your former teams, the Green Bay Packers, is also a division leader right now on top of the North. A great first campaign under Matt LaFleur. What stands out to you about the way this team has played with its first new head coach in a long time?
Yeah, LaFleur has done a great job. I mean, they already have double-digit victories. And when you think about the Packers coming in there, you have Aaron Rodgers. So you have a great toy to play with. You just got to find the best way to utilize them. And with the success that they've had running the ball, and you couple that with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, it's unbelievable trying to think about stopping them. And I know they didn't have Devontae Adams for a while. He was banged up, and now he's back in the lineup. And he's by far one of the most underrated receivers in the NFL. He's just so good. And I think Aaron has tons of trust in him. But you mentioned their defense. Their defense is fun to watch. I was actually at their last game this past weekend against Washington. It was a lot closer than they would have liked it to be, no question. But their defense stood up and played well and gave up 15 points. And you have the Smith brothers on the outside that obviously aren't related, but those guys just wreak havoc. And I think, especially with Za'Darius Smith, when you talk to anybody affiliated with the team, they're so impressed by not only what he does on the field, but the kind of leader. He stepped in from day one and has become a leader of that team and that defense and has an infectious attitude, I think, that trickles down throughout the whole team. And their defense does a heck of a job of taking the ball away. When they can get a couple turnovers, you can give a couple extra possessions to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the chances of you winning just skyrocketed. I think they've done that, especially in the games that they've won and their defense plays well. They're always finding a way to affect the quarterback and get turnovers.
Yeah, I'm not sure you could ask for much more under Matt LaFleur. And it's certainly a reinvigorated fan base and a lot of excitement about the Packers as we head toward the end of the regular season. But I'm actually really excited to see Mike McCarthy back on the sidelines sometime in the near future. He was your longtime head coach in Green Bay, AJ. When you think about Coach McCarthy, what's the best fit for him as he seeks a new job?
I mean, obviously, anywhere. He wants to get back into coaching bad, and every coach does that's not in there. It's so foreign to them to all of a sudden not be running a team and to be doing just normal everyday stuff. They're so regimented. They have everything laid out for the whole year. But honestly, I think he could go anywhere. That's the good thing about Coach McCarthy. I played 9 years for him. I came in, my draft class was the first year that he was the head coach of Green Bay. And so I got to see what it was like from year one all the way through 9 years of his tenure there. I think he's a guy that he's, like you said, it's fun to see him on the sidelines. I mean, he's animated. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He's going to let you know whatever way he is feeling. But he's everything he does, like he's the definition of like a pro football coach, to where he's far and away, he's the voice of that team. He runs the team. You know who the boss is. He's going to hold you accountable, but he's able to balance that to where he's going to hold guys accountable and not let anything slip. But he also lets guys be individuals too. And he understands, and he doesn't have you do any stupid things just to do it. Like some coaches maybe that aren't as good will have you just do random things throughout the day as far as scheduling or little things you may do in practice that he just thinks are important because he wants to let everybody know that he's the boss. McCarthy doesn't do that. He gives you the freedom to go out there and play and let you have fun while staying in control of the team and not letting anything slip, like the little things, letting guys show up late or miss workouts. Things like that don't happen around Green Bay when Coach McCarthy is there. So I think wherever he goes, he's going to be successful, and I think it's going to be really fun to watch. I'm just curious if he is going to continue to call the plays on offense if he is the head coach. I don't know if that's something he wants to continue to do or if maybe he wants to take on more of like a CEO role and kind of just oversee everything.
Former NFL linebacker A.J. Hawk won a Super Bowl with the Packers and Mike McCarthy during his time in the league. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You mentioned Coach wearing his heart on his sleeve. That's not something we got to see very often as fans. But his recent interview with NFL Network, he actually got choked up as he talked about how much he needs to coach and how his family will go anywhere that there's a good job. Do you think he got a bad rap in his exit from Green Bay?
I mean, I think maybe how it went down and doing it during the season, no one saw that coming. It was always questions, oh, is it going to happen after the season? But, you know, maybe I'm sure the Packers did it because they felt like not only were they helping themselves and getting a jump start on the coaching search, but also maybe get him a jump start on maybe interviewing at other places. So, I mean, anytime you exit a place that you've had so much success and you want to be there and you have so much respect for the organization, yeah, I mean, I'm sure he feels like it's it doesn't feel good leaving there. But I think I saw that same interview he did as well, and it was good to see him get all choked up. Then he even says like he didn't know why that question did it to him. But Coach McCarthy would always give these great speeches, these little talks on Saturday night before we would finally break and go back to our hotel room. And it was a lot of times it was referencing streets he grew up on in Pittsburgh and things going on. And he's not scared to get a little emotional at times. And obviously it usually comes when you're talking about family and kids and everything. But he cares so much about his guys. Like, he really does. And I just think he's a special guy. And like you said, I can't wait to see wherever he is coaching next.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Motion by Alan Lazard to the right side. He's flanked wide to the right. Roger shotgun. Jones to his right. Here's the snap to A-Rod. Looking, waiting, lofts, end zone. Got his man. Touchdown, Robert Tonyan. Back line of the end zone. And it's 13-0 Packers.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Wayne Larrivee on the Packers Radio Network right now, leaders of the NFC North and challenging for a bye, maybe one of those top seeds in the NFC with 3 weeks left in the regular season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and AJ Hawk, longtime Packers linebacker and Super Bowl champion, still with us here on the show. So AJ, in light of the 120th Army-Navy game coming up on Saturday, I asked my listeners the best football rivalries, and two of the ones that were mentioned the most are two that you played in. So, of course, Packers-Bears from the NFL, but also Ohio State-Michigan. What made each of those rivalries special?
I think just the battles that they've had, the history of the rivalry and the great players that have taken part in it. I knew about the rivalry when I got to Green Bay, but I guess I didn't know a whole lot of specifics. And Coach McCarthy, that's one thing he did a great job of, starting like the Monday of Bears week when we play them twice a year. He would start playing videos and highlights and different things of just different old school coaches talking about the rivalry, some of the older players that have taken part in it, them letting, like, speaking to camera, letting everybody know how serious it was and how serious they took it and how much fun it was to be a part of it. So you kind of have a build up the week leading up to it every single time you play the Bears game. And every single time that we would play them, like I said, twice a year for 9 years, like, you would, it's not like it died off. He would continue to educate us and let us know how special it is to be a part of that rivalry. And when you talk about Ohio State, Michigan, I mean, I grew up in Ohio, so I'm a little biased. I grew up about an hour and 15 minutes down the road. So I've known about it for a long time, but once I got there and I got to see what it was really like, and it's very similar, honestly, to the Bears-Packers rivalry, where you have like Michigan week and every day there's different things that my coach at the time, Coach Jim Tressel, was doing to just make us aware of what this game means to so many different people. And then when you get to play in it, and you can just feel it. You just feel the difference. And I'm 3-1 against Michigan. I mean, now, as of late, I mean, Ohio State's been so successful that these young kids that play now, they all are 4-5-0 against Michigan, it seems like. And they think it's crazy to ever lose to them. But especially when I was playing, I mean, Michigan, they were giving us a little tougher test than maybe they have been lately. But you see it, I think, when you talk to people outside of the program. And I've heard Jim Tressel mention this before, too. Like, whenever he's at a speaking gig or something, especially if it's around Ohio, a lot of times in the bio, they're going to mention his record against Michigan. And I know Urban Meyer said the same thing. I mean, Urban Meyer doesn't say Michigan. You know, he calls them that team up north. He won't let anyone call them by their name. So when you talk to people that haven't had a chance to take part in the rivalry and haven't had a chance to play it and see it firsthand, I think that's when you start to really understand how special it truly is.
Special is certainly one way to describe Ohio State's Chase Young, who's a Heisman finalist and was honored with the Bednarik Award as the Defensive Player of the Year. How do you describe this guy? What stands out about Chase, AJ?
Oh, gosh, everything. That guy is a freak. I mean, I always think about, like, okay, if you, let's say there's aliens out there and they come down to Earth and you have me stand next to Chase Young. And they're like, you guys, you're not the same kind of human that this guy is. You're a different, you're a different thing. Like, it's just, he's such a physical freak. And then you couple that with how the football instincts he has and the work that he puts in from everyone I talk to at the program in Ohio State. They've been high on him since he walked on campus. And I know I saw him standing at training camp practice his freshman year, and I don't really keep up too much on recruiting, so I didn't know a whole lot about him, but I remember looking at him like, who is that guy? And they told me it was Chase Young, and I instantly thought of Julius Peppers. I played with Julius in Green Bay for a year, and Julius is such an amazing player and a physical specimen like Chase. I thought it was like, oh, this is like Julius's little brother out here. And I think now we're getting to see, like, offenses have to completely game plan around him, double, triple team him. And when you have a lot of other great players around you like Chase does and at Ohio State, I mean, that's why Ohio State is undefeated at the moment.
Undefeated and number two in the final college football playoff standings. A.J. Hawk, an Ohio State alum, a longtime NFL linebacker, Super Bowl champ with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I want to ask you this question about a recent conversation you did with former NFL head of officials Dean Blandino. You had him on your podcast, and officiating is so scrutinized these days at every level, but because of the profile of the NFL, it seems like every little thing gets shoved under a microscope for fans and analysts and teams to talk about. What is one thing you learned from Dean that you didn't already know from your playing days?
Oh, man. I mean, the rules even changed a lot from my time in the league. I came in 2006 from when I was out in around 2015, I guess. It definitely changed on how, the targeting, the area where you could hit quarterbacks, the area where you could hit anyone. And not only are you going to – it used to be like, okay, you hit somebody in the head, it was a high shot. You may get fined for it, but it wasn't going to be a penalty at the time. Now it's a game changer. I mean, if it's third down and you guys that make a stop, but you hit somebody high, I mean, you give them an automatic first down. It's brutal. It can kill your team. So the one thing I would always talk to the officials during replay reviews, I would always try to get a little feel for, not the guy looking in the little monitor, but the guys standing on the field, they don't really have anything to do. They're just waiting to see what the call is going to be, if it's going to be overturned or not. They always, every one of them, I'd be like, what do you think? And they'd say, I don't know. And I'd be like, what do you think happened? They say, no matter what, we just want to get it right. If they called it wrong first and it gets overturned, they all seem to be fine with that. They just want to get the call right no matter what. And I respected that about them. And it seemed like every official I would talk to, they all kind of had that same mentality. And they want to be as perfect as you possibly can. But we know it's human beings. There's too many moving parts out there, and it's going too fast. So everything's not going to be perfect. But you know what? They're doing whatever they can, I guess, to try to make it perfect, even though now they find a way. Sometimes when you do too much, you just start to mess things up. And right now, I think there's so many subjective calls that you can replay, and it just, I don't know. It'll all find a way to kind of figure itself out, but I think we're going through some growing pains right now when it comes to officiating.
It always fascinates me when I see former NFL QBs like Hall of Famer Kurt Warner tweeting that defenses are at a disadvantage these days in the league. Do you agree with that?
I mean, yeah, and that's probably how it should be, though. I get it. I grew up playing football, baseball, and basketball, and I played running back, too, when I was playing football when I was growing up and in high school. So I want to see points scored, too. But, yeah, of course, the rules are definitely slanted for the offense. I mean, I think that one of the biggest things they changed with Peyton Manning pretty much got the rule change when you could – any kind of contact past 5 yards, you can't really jam at the line like you want to. And especially, think about going back to Dick Butkus and Singletary and – All these linebackers back in the day, you hear them talking these videos, and they're like, "Hey, no one's coming across the middle. That's my area. If you come across the middle, you're going to pay a price. That's whether they had the ball or not." But reality is now that's not the case. You can't just take guys out randomly like they used to. So guys are going to be more open. They're going to have bigger windows to throw into, and we see a lot of these quarterbacks putting up huge yards and a lot of points, but I at the same time, I understand it. I don't really like to watch a 10-7 football game either.
It's kind of funny coming from a former NFL linebacker, but yes, the entertainment value, not quite as high, 10-7. You can find him on Twitter at official AJ Hawk, won a Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers, and now has a show on Sirius XM plus his own podcast. Happy holidays to you, AJ. You're welcome on the show anytime. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you very much.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Looking at the play clock, Leno. Snap, Trubisky going to keep it. Right side, he's in for the touchdown. As the play clock's expiring, Mitch Trubisky rolls in from three on a designed run.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Packers-Bears weekend. You remember going back to the season opener. It was a Thursday night. It was a little odd that it wasn't the Super Bowl champion playing in the first game of the NFL season. But because it's the 100th year of the NFL in all of its various forms, it was the Bears that were hosting the Packers on that Thursday night. And do you guys remember the score? Don't look. Chris, Dave, do you happen to remember the score? I had to look it up because it was so long ago. But I now can put myself back on that Thursday night watching the first regular season game.
It was a weird low scoring, like 10 to 3 or something weird like that.
It was 10 to 3. And so a lot of the credit was given to the Bears defense for kind of picking up where they left off. And yet you had the debut of Matt LaFleur. The offense wasn't so fantastic, but the defense for the Packers was great. So Mitch Trubisky, he's gone through his ups and downs this season. The Packers, meanwhile, are one of the best teams in the NFC, and we'll get their matchup this weekend in Green Bay. So it's at Lambeau Field this time. The call with Jeff Joniak on the Bears radio network. We'll see what Trubisky does for an encore, because the last time we saw him, it was against the Dallas Cowboys, right, on Thursday night. Am I getting my weeks right? And against the Cowboys, he looked like he had a great rhythm and flow. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you toll-free by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. If you missed the AJ Hawk interview, we're going to put the whole thing up on our YouTube channel. It's really good stuff. I appreciate him sharing his stories and his insight into Packers, Bears, and Ohio State, Michigan. And we're asking you, too, what are your questions that you need answered this weekend in the NFL? So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, and I'll get to some of your responses here coming up. But first, Roger is listening in Ohio. Roger, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Amy.
Sure.
Oh, right off the bat, I got to tell you, I've been listening to you for years. I work 9 to 5 on midnights. And every single day, I leave here at 5 o'clock in the morning, put your show on, and go home.
Awesome.
And I got to tell you, I don't care how bad my day is, listening to you on the way home, I got to laugh. I get my brain cleared out. You make my day at work go away. And you have an infectious personality that I find amazing. So, you're welcome. And with that being said, I'm listening to all these people. And here I am in Cleveland, okay? We have Odell, we have Baker, we have more mouths than we need to hear. And when you go in there, people always start blaming the people that are always the winners. Belichick, you have, in basketball, you had Golden State. Everybody hates them. So they find any reason to drive on them and hate them down. Well, the one thing I noticed, how many times have you heard about, Brady being a mouth? Or any of those guys, that he's been playing with for years, they get their ball, they get their run, they turn around and live. And the guys you hear all the time are like egomaniacs with inferiority complexes, and we happen to have a few of them wonderful people on our team. And it's like, humble yourself, strive out the hardest you can. And so now they're blaming Bill Belichick for cheating. Let me tell you something. You don't get where Brady and him are without magic, without chemistry, without precision. I don't care how much you cheat, you can't do what those guys do on the field without working your butt off at it.
That's true. And he's notorious, meaning Belichick, for a guy who's always looking for an edge, for a tireless work ethic and preparation, and his teams are generally prepared. Certainly, if Tom Brady were mouthy, he wouldn't have survived with the Patriots all these years. You may have noticed there have been situations in the not too distant past, actually, Michael Bennett being a good example. Mouthy players, players that call attention to themselves, they don't last very long with the Patriots because that's not the Patriot way. And Belichick can't stand it when something takes away from the mission, can't stand it when there are outside distractions. Some of those can't be helped, of course. It's a locker room full of human beings, but they don't last very long with New England. You either toe the line or you're gone, and he doesn't care how talented you are. I wouldn't say there's a whole lot of extra rope for players who are uber talented. They definitely have a system where a lot of players wouldn't be comfortable and would feel like they were trapped in a box. But that's certainly the place you go. If you want to win, you then will suck it up and kind of subvert your own individual needs and maybe a bit of your personality, which is why it was so odd that Antonio Brown was brought on board. And I think that they were hoping, like they've had some big personalities in the past, they were hoping that he would kind of conform to the system, but it doesn't work with everyone. Not everybody can do it.
Well, you know, with that being said, I agree 100%. And you know, it's called professional football for a reason. And if you can't be a professional, then go somewhere else.
Well,
but the only thing I
want
to say really quick,
it's not the only way to do it. They're very professional, but we just heard AJ Hawk talk about how professional Mike McCarthy runs his ship. And so that's one way to do it. It's not the only way, but right now it's obviously the gold standard because of how successful the Patriots have been over the last 20 years.
Yeah, gotcha. So I'm going to the Cleveland game with on the 22nd and watch us get mangled. And I'm going there for one reason. I'm a diehard Browns fan, and I can't stay from the game. But the reality is, man, when do you get a chance to see someone throw and run like that? I can't wait to go watch him play.
Oh, good.
He's a maniac. And thanks for taking my call. I really had a good time talking to you.
All right, Roger. Good to talk to you. Glad to keep you company as well and give you a distraction from work. Yeah, I would say if you are a football fan and you have had the privilege or you will have the opportunity to see Lamar Jackson this season, it's going to be one of those things that you tell people down the road. He may, for the sake of argument, let's just say he continues on this track and next year he has 1,200 yards rushing. I mean, it may happen again, but this may also be an MVP season and it may not happen again. And so I would think that there are going to be a lot of fans who say, yeah, I watched Lamar Jackson do this or that. I saw him throw 5 touchdown passes. I saw him run for 100 yards. I saw him crush my team and not feel so bad about it. Ken is listening in Dallas. Ken, welcome to After Hours.
Yes, good morning.
Hey,
Amy.
Good to have you.
I hope you're doing well and happy holidays to you.
Thank you, you too.
Hey, look, this guy is a phenomenon. He's a savant. He's changed the game. And I saw him when he was the first one, he won the Heisman Trophy. Mm-hmm. And I was telling everybody, look, this guy is like James Brown, the entertainer. And that's what he's going to do. And what makes it so good that he's very humble. I play for my team. And he is the energy that fires up their team. When they get in a lead with a kind of lag, then they just come back because they know they can beat anybody they play. That's how much confidence they got.
Mm-hmm. They definitely are a very confident bunch.
And I hate A.J. Hawk forgot about the great Ray Niskey. Well, you didn't come across the road when he was there because he covered everything up. He knocked you out. But I used to watch him back in the 60s, and he was a tremendous linebacker. Mm. And I don't know where he is now. I know he's still alive, but they haven't given him his due.
There's a lot of really great players in the NFL, and some struggle because they played a different era, and the league doesn't have the same help in place now, doesn't have the same type of retirement packages or assistance as it does today for some of those veteran players from previous eras. And I know it's something the league, well, the Players Association for sure, but the league would like to correct. I've talked to a lot of them over my course of the last few years being on Radio Row, and the old timers, the guys that played back in Super Bowl I, II, or III. I mean, it was a different life when you were a football player then.
Stop letting those guys have individual agents invest their money. They should find competent financiers on Wall Street to handle their financial and retirement packages. so they wouldn't get their money stolen from them.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a blanket stereotype to throw on all of their agents. I actually know some agents personally who represent NFL clients, and they're honest, and they're trying to do their absolute best for their clients. Also, it's a very exact type of a skill. A Wall Street financier, a financial planner, may not be able to negotiate a contract, and you have to be a lawyer. You have to be an actual, you have to pass the bar and be an attorney to be an agent. So the NFL has pretty high standards for its agents, and I'm sure there are some that are crooked, but I also know that there are many who are not. So it's big business. It's a lot of money. So you're always going to have temptation for sure, and people who take the bait and don't do it above board. Ken, it's good to talk to you in Dallas. Thank you so much for your phone call. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I would agree with Ken that Lamar is the leader, and I think it's such an interesting phenomenon considering that he's 22 years old. Now, he's started for more than a year, and the track record has been really consistent. Let me think. They lost their playoff game. They lost once during the regular season after he took over. And they've lost, two games this season? So since Lamar Jackson took over as the starting QB, I believe they've only lost 4 games. I mean, that's a really consistent track record. And it's not just him. The defense also produced 2 takeaways on Thursday night. But someone asked John Harbaugh after Thursday Night Football about Lamar as the leader of the Ravens locker room.
They respect him and they respond to it great. I mean, you love the fire and the competitiveness, and he wants to be great on every single series. And that's just, I think it reflects all their attitude about it, right? So I think they appreciate it.
And Harbaugh is on the record multiple times. Excuse me. So weird. When you talk for a living, weird things happen. So he's on the record multiple times saying that having Lamar Jackson for him personally has really increased his energy and made him feel young. And yeah, it's exciting to go to work when you've got some youth to be able to teach and coach, and also winning definitely does revitalize a locker room and a coach. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So finding me on Twitter or Facebook. And we're asking you about the burning questions that you need answered in week 15. Roel on Twitter says, can the Raiders end the Coliseum with a win? Can they end the Coliseum? Maybe can they quit the Coliseum with a win? they're not taking out the Coliseum. Well, they better not. Jacksonville is on the road at Oakland. And we've heard John Gruden talk about how everything is under the microscope. Everybody is under scrutiny, that they are all subject to lose their jobs, to lose their playing time, that they've got to make drastic changes. Now, I don't know what drastic changes you make in week 15 of an NFL season, but they host Jacksonville and they get to do it in the Coliseum. And of course, they're moving to Vegas next year. We know how much John Gruden loves to play at the Coliseum. He gets all teary and emotional every time. Well, their last 2 games are at, I almost said San Diego, at the Chargers and at the Broncos inside the AFC West. So this will be the final farewell for the Raiders, unless some magic happens and I don't think they can make the playoffs, but I guess they're still a long shot there. Anyway, they wouldn't be hosting, obviously, so that, never mind, scratch that from the record. But yeah, should be an emotional scene. And we know that John Gruden loves to make the rounds and high five the fans and connect with them. And so you can imagine there'll be a lot of that following this game if they win. Russell on Facebook, I see more problems outside the locker room for the Browns, which I believe have negatively affected the team chemistry. Unfortunately, Kitchens, Freddie, has lost control of a team full of hype, but now Cleveland fans just gripe. I don't think I got the question there. Was there a question? I can't see Chris's face. I can just see his head shaking back and forth. Anthony says on Facebook, Green Bay Packers, are we who we thought we were? Oh, he throws in a couple of we's in there. Oh, I got it. Are we who we thought we were? In other words, contenders or pretenders? I don't know. Who did you think that you were? Jim on Facebook, Steelers, can they make the playoffs? Mike, they're on a first name basis. Mike Tomlin, coach of the year, ? Thanks so much for joining us. We're halfway through. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.